You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? This is Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Corey Parson on the way in a little bit. Matty Mo, welcome back.
Yes, it's a beautiful day out there. Sunny, no more snow. So, hey.
How was your snow day?
Snow day was all right. It was like a rejuvenation day.
I like it. I had a rejuvenation week last week, so I know how it feels.
You're looking pretty crisp.
Well, you know, you walk in here and you know it. You feel it like a day after. You're like, oh, I'm good. I'm back. I'm feeling good. We got a lot of baseball to talk to you about. Did you have the Tout Wars draft?
Yes. No. I was listening to it actually. I heard people coming from my boy fantasy exec. I didn't appreciate that. You know, especially people that always talk about, you know, don't take risks, but yet finish in the middle of the pack of these industry drafts year after year. You know, it's kind of like calling the kettle black.
All right, fair enough. The fantasy executive, we went over his team a little bit yesterday. Jake Seeley helped us with that. Now, throughout the show, we have a lot of spring training headlines to get to. I'm excited to talk to you about it. Today's team of day, which we're going to get to toward the bottom of the hour live on YouTube, Los Angeles Dodgers, because we get it. Cody Bellinger, Belly Bombs, as you like to call him. Corey Seager, we talk a lot about him. But there's a lot of other players in the Dodgers I want to get into. So we're going to do that coming up today at the bottom of the hour. Plus, a lot of, as I mentioned, spring training headlines to get to. Before we do that, before we hit the break, I do have to ask, Matt, did you see this DeMar DeRozan coast-to-coast yesterday?
Yeah, I didn't see it live, but I did see the footage of that, and that was insane.
It was wild. So I was looking to watch some college basketball. And
did you watch Notre Dame?
I did not watch Notre Dame. So I was watching, I had Modern Family on, in all honesty. And after that,
how was that show still on?
No idea. So the Judy went in like the bedroom to like watch Kardashians or whatever. And I was like flipping through basketball. And like I just missed Virginia Tech and Notre Dame. So the UNC game just started. And like the Marquette game just started. So I'm like, all right, what can I watch? I turn on like Detroit, Toronto. I'm like, ugh. And then I was like, this is awesome. It was an awesome end. And DeMar DeRozan, with 10 seconds left, went the length of the court and slammed it home with two hands. It was awesome. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, that's like, I remember when I was younger, when they used to have all those posters, that was being called posterized.
Oh, that's exactly what it was. It was a posterization, if you will, by DeMar DeRozan, who crushed it. Really, really cool. Really, really, really cool. Last night with the Raptors going into D-Town and getting the job done.
Yeah, no, that's about
first
the fifth
team,
straight year.
Fifth straight year. First team to clinch a playoff spot with the Toronto Raptors.
We the North.
We the North. Is it different this year, Matt?
I think they have a little more hope.
I agree with you.
I don't know. When it's all said and done, LeBron's probably going to win out in the East.
Probably. It does feel different.
No, it feels different. It does. I give them, you know, and even Boston, but if I got to put the money on the line, I'm taking LeBron.
As you should. We'll take a break. When we come back, a lot of baseball headlines to get to. And I'm going to do it with Wall Street Matt Modica over the next few hours. Stick around. More on the way right after this.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
All right, back with you, Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Want to remind you, check out Fantrax.com. You can create the ultimate dynasty keeper or redraft fantasy league using Fantrax's free commissioner product. Find out how it feels to have the deepest player pool, multi-team trades, plus player salary and salary and contract options at your fingertips, all of which are fully customizable. And with Fantrax Treasurer, you can set league fees and easily and safely distribute payouts without a third party, so you don't have to track down owners for payment. And when you enter promo code in AL, that's AL for
Al Melchior.
That's right. And sign up for a chance to win 10 private consultations with the man, the myth, the legend, Al Melchior. It's a $109 value, which you can get for free with promo code AL, A-L, when you go to Fantrax.com today. Find out why Fantrax is the home of fantasy sports. Fantrax.com. Let's get into some baseball, shall we, Manny Mo? And I want to begin in St. Louis. And we're going to talk to Dr. A coming up in a little bit. And we talked about Luke Gregerson then, but Luke Gregerson, strained oblique in St. Louis. Got to be a little bit nervous.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, I wasn't really fully buying the Luke Gregerson as the closer guy. I know he has the leg. He had the leg up coming into camp and stuff. And look, he has had posted skills pretty much every year in the bullpen. And since when Gregerson has been given the opportunity to close, it pretty much has gone well. I don't think that's maybe his role. I think he's best used in the seventh, eighth inning. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, I got to think at some point Alex Colomé is a Cardinal. Or maybe they sign Holland. But what's that going to cost? That's, I think, the thing here. I was still hoping that Moustakas, if the Yankees weren't going to give him that, say, one-year big deal, just coming to town, I figured, go across, go from Kansas City to St. Louis made sense. But, who are you looking at now? That's the question. Who could close? Is it Lyons?
I don't know. I mean, Bud Norris comes to mind.
Bud Norris. Yeah. Bud Norris, I think, gets a big boom because the manager's love.
He's done it before. Yep.
That's a guy that, maybe take a flyer on and stuff like that.
Yep.
I do like this Cardinals team to be much better than they were last year. I think the Cubs are the class. That's not saying anything new. But, with Milwaukee's resurgence, who still need another starting pitcher, I don't care. What some guys did last year, maybe they're nice guys, more back of the end. You don't want them at the top end. We've discussed that prior. So I think Milwaukee still needs to make a move for a pitcher. The Cardinals, a much improved team. I do like the moves they made. Getting Marcell Ozuna, and for what they gave up, was kind of like robbery.
Absolutely. Okay, so that's kind of Luke Gregerson. We'll hear more from him about Dr. Ray coming up in about 8 minutes or so from now. Now, after Luke Gregerson, I want to get excited about another player. A player that I know you've absolutely been in on throughout the spring, and I think his value is only going up because he's pitching well in spring. I don't care about spring training. I don't really watch spring training. It doesn't matter to me. But there's certain guys you watch, specifically guys that are, either coming back from injury or guys that are always injured. And you want to see them be healthy, and you want to see them perform. And that brings Garrett Richards to my mind, because Garrett Richards, just a year or two ago, was being drafted as a top 25 pitcher. He was somebody that was a former top prospect for the Angels, had a really good second half of a year, came back, and you thought that he would be a superstar. Gets hurt pretty much out of the gate, and then comes back down the stretch, doesn't have Tommy John, has, basically the rest and rehab and pray my arm doesn't fall off treatment. And he comes back, and now in the spring, he's even Garrett Richards again. I know there's some optimism when you look at a guy like Masahiro Tanaka, and you see what he could do without having the surgery, and you translate that to Garrett Richards, and you're like, okay, if he stays healthy, he could be good. What should Garrett Richards be for fantasy owners? What do you want to count on him as?
It's all upside here. It's about, as you said, staying healthy. He's pitched, 50, 60 innings the last couple of seasons. 2014, I owned him, and it seems like a lifetime ago. It really does. And when on the mound and healthy, he has all the tools to succeed. Now he's throwing a curveball. He's throwing the curveball, but it's under 10% for the most part. But he's been working on that more this spring, and if that becomes an option to go with the fastball, slider, even with 140, 150, I'm going to top him out at 160.
Sure.
I mean, that's being aggressive in my opinion. But I think for that 140-plus innings, if you were to get that, what he can give you in today's age, it's worth it. In today's pitching landscape, I'll take that. I'll take that, and you want to use one of these, the new age of these two-inning relievers or multi-inning relievers, or you pick up a guy on the waiver, replacement value. It's a good ballpark he pitches in, too. That's another thing you got to take into consideration. And like I said, it's only been about health. He closed the season out strong. Okay, maybe there's only five starts.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm not trying to, like, be too over-optimistic. But before, I've been getting him. I've gotten a lot of shares. And in a 15-teamer, if he's around there, you know, late 11th, 12th round, 13th round.
So that was my next question.
I'm going with him every time.
Yeah.
You know, why not? You know, a guy like Chase Anderson, who last season pretty much had a career year.
Yep.
He's had one season under a 4X FIP. He's usually an extremely fly ball pitcher. Last year, the home run to fly ball rate was low. And I can't see that staying the same way in Milwaukee. Yes, he made some, his velocity did uptick. And he had a very good season. I'm not trying to hate on Chase Anderson. I'm seeing what Chase Anderson has done. Yes, he's made some changes the last year plus. But I'm not going to bet on Chase Anderson to go anywhere near what he did last year, okay? Which was like a 2.75 ERA. If he pitched to a 3.75 ERA, I'd be a little surprised too. And I would take that any day of the week. But I'll take Richard's upside over a Chase Anderson, who I'm going to think he's going to pitch more to a 4 ERA.
I totally agree. I think the upside is absolutely there when it comes to a guy like Garrett Richards. And I think you described it perfectly against Chase Anderson. And you're looking, as Matt mentioned, 11th, 12th round, you can get a guy there that has his monster upside to be that number two starter for your rotation. When you're drafting the 11th, 12th round, you're looking at a 3 or a 4. And I think that value is just really impeccable. You look at the NFBC ADP for close to the last week, you have Garrett Richards right now going at number 163 overall. Other starting pitchers in that area include Chase Anderson, who Matt mentioned immediately because he's that damn good. Charlie Morton, who I know people are excited about. And also, he's a lot of relievers. Drew Pomeranz.
Yeah, I mean, look, Charlie Morton's another good option, but it's Charlie Morton, what can you really project from him? He's 35, 36 years old. He was phenomenal in the playoffs. He had a very good year. But the one thing, I owned Morton last year in multiple places. But you hope with Charlie Morton, he pitches five good innings and he's out. You don't want him coming out for that sixth inning. He's another year older. That's the problem. That's their problem with the back end of their rotation with him and McCullers. You know, can they get to 150 innings? But if they can't, I mean, they got Peacock. They got Colin McHugh. Forrest Whitley, unfortunately, had that 50-game suspension. But I could see him, maybe in middle of August, sure. End of August, him get brought up for a late run. They talked about managing his innings in the spring anyway, so it's not like he's not going
to
be throwing and keeping himself in shape.
Right, this is certainly a way to manage that, obviously. Now, because we're not talking about BFFs, and I know how into this guy Florio is, Blake Snell. Blake Snell just continues to roll right along.
And this is coming off that second half.
Yes, it is. Mike Florio is the Blake Snell guy to me. I'm not going to rain on that parade. I'm not Mr. Blake Snell. I never will be. But where are you in Blake Snell?
He's another guy. I mean, he's another guy that I'm interested in him as well. I don't have a lot of shares. I got on maybe a little later, but for where he's going, that's the whole thing. He's priced to be profitable, and he should get the innings. You know, the pitchers in Tampa Bay are dropping like flies.
Yeah, they really are.
You know, they're talking about going with a four-man rotation.
Four-man rotation, and on the fifth day when they need it, just going bullpen only.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I think you throw a starter out in the fifth day. Maybe if you want to give him a shorter leash or, have him pitch less innings. But, yes, Blake Snell is a guy, if you got to look at what pitchers did they make adjustments? And he was young. The last thing to come with most of young pitchers is control. And even the top guys we have now, when they were younger, they struggled with control. And if he keeps these gains and, the changes that he's making, it's tough. You can't, not everybody's going to come up to the majors and be great to begin with. And I'm not saying he's great, but he is an appealing arm. The one thing that does cap him is probably not going to win a lot of games.
Probably not. He's a great arm. Another former top prospect, and the upside is there. I know people like myself have Blake Snell fatigue in a way where you're just kind of thinking that, this guy can't get through five innings. This is what I said before, right? Like, you can't get through five innings. The walks are always there.
But that's why you should never, like, I know everybody wants to say he's dead to me and write people off. That's why you got to keep an open mind as long as the price is there. As long as the price is right.
Sure. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, We're going to talk more about Luke Gregerson. Some of these are injured guys throughout spring training, including Corey Seager, because we're going to talk to Dr. A of Inside Injuries. The doctor joins FST when we come back. Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
All right, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. That time of the day where we talk some injuries. Before the draft, you got to make sure you talk to Dr. Ray, which is what we're going to do right now. What's going on, Doc?
Good morning, guys. Matt, did you see Greg's tan? Did Greg go anywhere? He looked very tan.
I did. I was in Florida, Doc.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, must be nice.
Well, coming from you, world traveler.
Yeah, you guys should be like in the sequel to Up in the Air.
Doc, and I was just like, do I get to play Anna Kendrick? Is that what this movie is? George
you
Clooney?
Want, you know, it is 2018. So.
I just want to know if Matt's going to take Sammy Watkins again.
Doc, he said he is.
You know that. Like, death, taxes, and I draft Sammy Watkins.
He said he is, for sure. Yeah, there you go. All right, we started off the show talking about Luke Gregerson. I want to throw that out to you as well, Dr. A, because Luke Gregerson here this year is supposed to be the closer for the St. Louis Cardinals. Well, he hasn't pitched in a while, and now we know why. He's got a strained oblique. It's a mild strained oblique, but a strained oblique nonetheless. When we hear that, we automatically think 4 to 5 to 6 weeks. That brings him certainly past opening day. How serious is the oblique injury to Luke Gregerson?
So, and the fact that it's just a grade one injury, and the MRI shows no tear, it's actually good news for him. But these injuries have to be taken extremely sensitively, especially in the closer role. They generate a lot of power from their core in order to pitch at the velocities that they need to. So the oblique is right there in terms of the core muscle. So they really, really need to take this. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out for 8 weeks just to make sure that inflammation has gone down and he's slowly building up his muscle mass and, you know, speed and his muscle very, very carefully, because one of the biggest concerns here is that if he does come back and he does have pain again in his oblique, then it becomes even extra hard. And now you're talking a 10 to 12 week recovery for that, because it may be a grade two injury. So it's good news that it's just a grade one. They take the appropriate time of 6 to 7 weeks, which is exactly what they're doing. They're doing it right. I think our statistics show that he'll be back and he'll have the best chance possible to be a, you know, dominating closer without this injury hampering him.
Hey, Doc, let's stay with the pitchers here. And Marcus Stroman, they're saying it's not serious, but, you know, anytime it's a shoulder or something, just needs some rest. What's your diagnosis on what you're hearing?
Yeah, whenever you have a throwing shoulder injury in a, you know, pitcher, regardless of how minor it is, you know, your antennas need to be up, because even though this shows a little bit of rotator cuff inflammation and no structural damage, meaning there is no tear or ligament tear right now, currently, if he doesn't rest and he doesn't have a significant amount of healing time, because the shoulder takes a pounding with any starting pitcher. And so they have to, this is one of those sensitive injuries that tend to recur, and they get a little bit worse every time they recur and get harder and harder to heal. So the good news is that, you know, it's a grade one. He's scheduled to play catch today. In my mind, that is too early. Okay, he should be resting another week, a week and a half, and then starting to play catch to be about 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks away to throw some long tosses and be ready to go 4 weeks from now. 1.5 weeks from this injury will tend to make it recur. And so that's why our algorithm is really, our HPF for him right now is at 33%, because he shouldn't be throwing catch right now.
So, Doc, like you say, in your opinion, he shouldn't be throwing having catch today. Is there like a way for the team doctor to step in and say, look, you know, it really behooves this player to take another week, and can he override with what the player wants to do, say?
Well, see, you know, Matt, you're asking a very, very good question, but there's probably six different answers. One is, you know, the conflict again between the team doctor and the team and the player. The team wants him out there, right? The team wants him, you know, to basically perform. And he may not, you know, the team doctor, there could be some bias there. There could not be some bias. You know, it depends upon every relationship between the team medical staff and doctor and the ownership and general manager. So, you know, yes, he could step in. But then the other thing is that he may not have the data that we have, right? And so we have this statistical data aggregated over the last decade to say, hey, you know, these guys with grade one shoulder injuries, they need to have a minimum of 2.5 weeks because our statistics show that they have a greater than 35% recurrence rate over the next 12 to 24 months. You know, that type of data is very valuable. And likelihood right now, well, hence the mission statement of Inside Injuries. Thanks. Thanks for letting me shamelessly plug it, but that's the key, is that if you have the data, then you can make those changes and you could see the benefit later on. But you know, the medical staff, a lot of times in certain team relationships, they may not have that type of power or pull. Ultimately, it's up to the general man, up to the coach and the general manager to decide, you know, what they're going to do with the player. But you know, he definitely needs another week, a week and a half to rest. He shouldn't be throwing catch right now.
Talking to Dr. Ray, Inside Injuries, giving the update there on Marcus Stroman, who should not be playing catch right now, according to the good doctor. Something that you definitely want to be aware of when you are drafting or considering drafting Marcus Stroman during draft season. Let me go on to another player, and it's about the New York Mets. Every year we do this thing. It's the same thing, right? It's literally the same thing every year. Minor injury, no big deal, out for the year. The very definition of insanity. So the latest top prospect, Ahmed Rosario, came up last year, expected to have a bigger year and a bigger role in 2018. He hurts his knee. Okay, no big deal. Can't get out of the game. Fine, a day off, no big deal. All good. Oh, man, I still have discomfort in my knee. Let me go for the MRI. The MRI comes back 100% clean. Everything is clean. It looks great. Nothing to worry about. But then the injury is changed from knee soreness to groin soreness. But the MRI was 100% clean. There's nothing to see here. There's nothing to worry about. What's going on with Ahmed Rosario here, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of gamesmanship that's not uncommon for teams to how they report, you know, medical injuries and MRI results. You know, I've long been trying to develop just the algorithm alone to determine, you know, if an MRI result says this, then it really means this and, you know, all of that stuff. So a couple of things here. One is that the left knee, it's not surprising that he has a left groin and a left hamstring because there's a little compensatory effort. You know, a lot of times when you get tentative on playing on an injured body part, you tend to, you know, strain or tweak surrounding muscles. It's a proven fact. And he did it, you know, with his hamstring and groin. Now, let me tell you, when certain teams say MR clean, that doesn't mean that it's clean. It means that there's no structural damage, meaning there's no tear. But that does not necessarily mean that there isn't some inflammation. And we have a grade one knee, a grade one groin, and a grade one hamstring. So that means he has a muscle strain, a mild muscle strain. But all, you know, for all intents and purposes, it is a muscle strain. Now, he plays a shortstop position, lots of mobility, lots of lateral movement, you know, and so the groin and the hamstring and the knee are huge contributing factors to the stability and making sure that he, you know, he's at his top performance. So this is, again, even though it's a grade one injury, you know, this is a 4 to 5 week recovery. If he comes back, you know, sort of less than that time period, then you may start to see again this recurrence and the injury gets worse. And then all of a sudden he's out half the season or he doesn't play after the All-Star break. You know, I mean, Greg, you've talked about the Mets, medical injuries before. So in this particular case, that is the main reason why that, you know, even though the MRI says it's clean, it's not clean. It's just that there's no structural damage. But these injuries will tend to recur unless he rests for 4 weeks.
Oh, there you go. So that's right. That's pretty interesting right there.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And, you know, that's another reason why Jose Reyes becomes relevant once again, you know, for, somehow, some way.
Yep.
He's going late. And you look what he did last year in 500 at-bats. Doc, staying with my beloved the miserable Mets. Jacob DeGrom is a guy I pretty much had like as my number seven starting pitcher all year long in this preseason.
Yeah.
And he's come out with this back thing. I saw him in an interview say, you know, he may not be ready for opening day. And I don't personally care if he's the opening day starter or he starts the fourth game of the season. I care about the effect. Will people, if people shy away, is this an opportunity to buy or you're cautious?
Extremely cautious. Unfortunately, this is again starting pitcher woes for the Mets is just, you know, I've never seen actually in the last 7 years a team being decimated by these type of starting pitcher injuries. But you know, the key thing here is that again they say the MRI is clean, and again, I'm telling you that we're listing it as a grade one injury. So that means there is a little bit of a disc bulge or something like that. An MRI clean may mean to them that there is no disc hernia, significant disc pathology, but he does have a disc bulge. For a starting pitcher, requires a lot of stability on his back, his lower back, to generate that torque, essentially to, you know, make a really, really good breaking pitch or fastball. You guys remember the history of his injuries, ulnar nerve surgery in 16, forearm strain, rotator cuff tendonitis in 16 and 17. So, I mean, this is a guy that now he has a back injury. Back injuries are statistics show that these pitchers start to go down even with the most minor of back injuries. So if I was a fantasy guy, I would avoid Jacob DeGrom, unfortunately.
Oh, there you go. Your number seven.
That is most unfortunate news.
Your number seven overall pitcher. Dr. A says avoid Jacob DeGrom. Hey, Doc, do you have a couple minutes to hang out with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, awesome. We have a bunch more players we want to get to. Some long-term guys that are hurt, some near-term guys who are considering Corey Seager, Matt Carpenter, that we definitely want to get to Dr. A about on today's program. But bad news about Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah, that's not what I wanted to hear. Let's just look. Hey, look, Noah Syndergaard's looking more and more healthy every day.
That's crazy. And it's standard Metropolitans, if you ask. I want to let you know, for those that are not watching, Matt just sighed, clenched his fist, and sighed again. That is the definition of a Mets fan. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more on FSD on FNTSY.
Friends, if you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
All right, we're back here with you, Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dr. Ray, still here, still hanging. And I wanted to go back to, we're talking about a team today, which is the Dodgers. I want to get into the Dodgers in a bit. But I want to ask Dr. Ray about Corey Seager. Because Corey Seager, there's been questions about that elbow. And
I've stayed away.
Matt stayed away, but he's been DHing. He says he's going to be back playing a minor league game this coming Monday. And that should give him plenty of time to be ready to play shortstop every day for the Dodgers, I think. Is there legitimate concern, Doc, about Corey Seager?
So the right-handed throwing arm of a shortstop is very important, obviously, to make that throw to first base. That's number one. Number two is, let me list to you the 2017 injuries that Corey Seager has had. Grade one oblique, grade one hamstring, grade one lower back strain, grade one elbow. of that same elbow. And now he has a reoccurrence of that same injury of the grade one elbow. And it is just too many injuries and recurrences. He played 145 games last year, which is amazing given all of these ticky-tack minor injuries. Because this is sort of a warning sign from a grade one elbow injury again this year, don't be surprised that he'll have a recurrence of a lot of these types of injuries, like the grade one hamstring or grade one quad this year. So we don't think he'll play more than 100 games this year. So he'll probably miss about 60 games. And so knowing that information, I would definitely pass potentially on him or make him your third or fourth player on that position.
Yeah, so Corey Seager, the lingering injury is affecting his draft value, Matt. That's probably why you don't own him anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, especially like in one of these draft and holds where you can't be picking up guys in season. I mean, I've had him fall to like middle of the fourth in a 15-teamer, and I was just like,
right.
I'm worried. I think Doc's nailed it on the hit the nail on the head.
If he was a first baseman, guys, it'd be different. But you know, shortstop position is very you get banged up. You get really, really banged up, and all these ticky tack type of injuries, they will come up. So it's really because he's in the shortstop position.
Yeah, and it's a shame because he's a fantastic young talent.
Absolutely. Let's see how these injuries do affect him. Because, hey, listen, he battled all those injuries that Doc mentioned. He played almost every day last year. So, you know, we'll see ultimately what happens. The other guy I wanted to mention here, as I said going to break, that was Matt Carpenter, Matt. Because Matt Carpenter is a guy you and I were both very, very high on coming into the year. We thought the value was fantastic. And I talked about him on the BFFs yesterday as well. And Florio brought up the point that maybe that BABIP doesn't come back up because of how many fly balls he's hitting. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, he's got a be on the field to do anything. And Matt Carpenter's been battling a back injury, Doc, since the beginning of camp. How nervous should we be about Matt Carpenter?
Okay, so this is a very typical first baseman type of injury. These guys are pretty big. They typically have back issues. It's a grade one back injury, so there's a little bit of a disc bulge. It's not just muscle strain. So that is what the concern is that because of, the fact of, you know, that he's a first baseman and that he does have a grade one injury, they have to take it very sensitively to make sure that he doesn't worsen any disc injury or pathology. He's had a, shoulder injury in 2017 with rotator cuff inflammation, but not a significant tear. So this is about a 3 to 4 week recovery to make sure that he heals properly. So, you know, they're saying that he's not playing the game. He might not be ready for opening day, but, you know, today is March the 8th and 4 weeks is April the 8th. So yeah, I would kind of go along with that. I don't know if he'll be ready for opening day, but maybe a week after opening day is when we're sort of projecting he'll be ready.
Yeah, and I agree with what Florio was saying. It's guys like Kyle Seager, too. They hit this extreme amount of fly balls. Your BABIP is not going to improve if that trend continues. I've kind of walked away from Carpenter as this draft season's gone on. It's, you know, do I really want to deal with this anymore? You know, last year I really did like and was expecting a lot. But, Doc, let's stay on this first baseman corner guy. Ryan Healy, he's kind of a guy I did like, though he had multiple eligibility for fantasy purposes. When do you see him returning?
Yeah, so he's had a grade two hand injury. They just removed a bone spur. So even though it's his throwing hand, so that's the only concern there. It's the throwing hand. It's not the non-throwing hand. So grade two hand injury, first baseman again. And so, you know, not a lot of mobility. I mean, some mobility required, but not like a shortstop. He had a grade one hip. And he had if you guys remember in 17, he also got hit in the head by a freak, you know, like ground ball in the head. I don't know if you guys remember that. And so, you know, this type of injury is a 3 week recovery time because it's just removing a bone spur. He should be okay. It's really about the grip of the ball and that he doesn't feel any pain. But that, honestly, it should heal in 3 weeks and he should be really ready to go for opening day or very close to opening day. These types of injuries heal very well and because it's being done in a proactive manner. It's not being done in a reactive manner. So the body heals pretty well. The hand heals pretty well, and he should be okay right around opening day.
All right, so there you go. So some optimism, finally, Dr. A, regarding somebody. And that was Ryan Healy talking to Dr. A inside injuries. Now, a couple of pitchers I wanted to get into. Drew Pomeranz is a guy that's always injured, right, Matt? Like, yep. He's a guy that has great stuff, but can he put it together for a full season? He's always hurt. How hurt is he right now?
Yeah, this is not, you know, we just went from optimism and now, unfortunately, we're going to go to pessimism.
Right,
yeah, I'm back, unfortunately. You know, when we talk about starting pitchers with throwing elbow injuries and even minor injuries, yes, it'll always be somewhat sensitive and pessimistic. So he has a minor flexor strain. So that's the, you know, grade one elbow injury. That's what we predicted. That's what they said. The MRI revealed no structural damage, which means it's no tear. However, you know, he is a starting pitcher and a grade one elbow injury and a flexor strain is something that they have to take very sensitively. He should not be playing catch for another 4 weeks, and he needs to heal this, and he should be ready eventually, in our opinion, by mid-April to the third week of April. So the 5 to 6 week recovery time, because it's a throwing elbow of a pitcher, it's extremely sensitive. If you hear that he's playing catch in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and he's going to be ready, you know, maybe like the first week of April, then I would have your red flags up, because he will still be in the high injury risk category at that point, according to our algorithm.
Hey, Dak, let's go to the outfield position and talk about Gerardo Parra. And not even so much for him. I want to know about the other, how this affects the other outfields in Colorado.
Yeah, so this is, again, this is the case of the hook of the hamate. So we talked about one last week, and now we're talking about another one this week. You know, this is something that, you know, he, you know, had it removed, which is great. I mean, it's not a fracture that needs to heal. This is a 3 to 4 week recovery time. You know, he took batting practice on 3-1. Live batting practice will be, you know, on 3-7. Actually, yesterday should have had that, which is about 3 weeks away. So, no particular issues with him. There is optimism here that this thing, you know, the hook of the hamate repair hooks, you know, basically heals very, very quickly. And he should be ready to go for opening day.
All right. So it's pretty optimistic for Gerardo Parra, but probably not the answer you wanted.
No, I just want David Dahl to be good.
I know. A couple of more players here, Doc, before we let you run. And that is the old Wiley veteran in Seattle. That's Felix Hernandez, who was hit by a comebacker earlier in spring training. He struggled mostly last year with injuries. And like a lot of veteran pitchers, the fastball isn't what it used to be. And he has to figure out how to be a crafty pitcher, like a CC Sabathia has become in his later years. How relevant can Felix Hernandez be for us this year if he can remain healthy?
Yeah, this injury is a little bit of a freak accident that happens to pitchers when they get, you know, comebackers come to them all the time. So, you know, this is a blunt force trauma type injury. You know, this is not something that he, you know, threw a pitch and then he feels discomfort in his shoulder. This is basically a, you know, ball hit his arm, and, you know, there's no fracture, which is great. Good news about that. But, you know, likely has a muscle contusion or soft tissue contusion. It's very painful, and it's very difficult to treat from a pain management standpoint, because you're talking, you can't really just injecting, you know, a muscle, you know, with pain medication. So you got to just let it heal. So even though he can't really bend the arm very well right now, eventually he will get better, and this thing should heal completely. Now, he has other issues, mainly because of the, you know, the time he's already spent in the league and the games that he's played and the other injuries that he's had. For this particular injury, once that, you know, swelling goes down, there should be really no underlying muscle damage, and he should be back to wherever the normal state was, which in our book is still, you know, showing that he's at elevated injury risk, and his predictive performance this year based on all of the other injuries is not going to have a good, you know, basically showing that he's not going to really have a great year because of these injuries.
And Doc, let's hit one guy real quick. He's not on my draft radar now, maybe if he can in season. Mm-hmm. But Carlos Rodon, do you think he pitches this year?
So, you know, the team, there's a mixed messages coming out of the team. You know, they gave him an initial recovery time of 6 to 8 months. He just had to relieve bursitis. Now, if they're giving him a 6 to 8 month recovery, they did a lot more in there than just relieve bursitis. So there's a little bit of gamesmanship, I think, coming out of there. If it's just bursitis, it should be only a 4 month recovery, even in a throwing shoulder. So they're giving him a 6 to 8 month recovery, which is very, very concerning that there is some other type of injury there that the team is not telling us about, whether it's a labrum injury or a rotator cuff or something like that. So, he's going to stay at high injury risk and below average HPF for pretty much the whole season. So the likelihood of him coming back this year and being very, very competitive is low.
All right, so there you go. So that's kind of what you expected when it came to Carlos Rodon. So the pessimism that we expected from Dr. A wasn't exactly shocking to us. So.
AKA Dr. Doom.
Dr. Doom, indeed. Dr. A, we appreciate the time. As always, we'll do it again next week, my friend.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Doc.
There you go. Dr. A, inside injuries, who was mostly doom and gloom, Matt.
That it was. Unfortunately, about the game.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Come back. Talk more baseball with you. You got Jake Seeley coming up next hour. Corey Parsons coming up next hour. So a lot going on in hour number two. So stick around. More of FST on FNTSY right after this.
Calling all drivers, want a career that will take you places? Then Coach USA and Megabus is the place for you. Coach USA and Megabus, leaders in the local and intercity bus transportation industry, are looking for career-minded, conscientious drivers with a valid CDL Class A or B license with passenger endorsement. They offer paid training, competitive salary, and many benefits. Apply now and start driving to a better future. Visit CoachUSA.jobs. That's CoachUSA.jobs.
With you, FST on FNTSY. Remember that you can catch the DKMS 2018 March Madness special on Monday, March 12th, 4 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, simulcasted live on the FNTSY YouTube account. It's hosted by Craig Carton. Get the edge of filling out your brackets with analysis from myself, Mike Blewett, and Brad Evans from Yahoo. If you're looking to make some money, Gabe Morency, Blackjack Fletcher will line your pockets. The broadcast, as I mentioned, can be heard live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network Monday at 4 p.m. Eastern and simulcasted live on YouTube. It's the DKMS 2018 March Madness special, Monday, March 12th, 4 p.m. Eastern, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the battle, the face-off between the two fantasy bracketologists, and Brad Evans and yourself, Greg Sussman.
Am I a fantasy bracketologist? I mean, Brad Evans is actually a bracketologist.
Stuff, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to give you a nice...
appreciate it.
And you're poo-pooing all
I'm not going to... I'm just not taking the bait. I'm just not taking the bait.
Well, I wasn't saying you had to say anything mean or anything like that. I'm just looking forward to it.
I appreciate
it. I know Brad, you know, focuses heavily on the NCAA tournament.
Yes, he does.
And I understand you do as well. So.
I like the NCAA tournament.
Yes, you do.
We talked yesterday about some of these free agents, and what do you do? I asked Jake about that. I want to get your opinion also, because it came out in the middle of our show yesterday that Mike Moustakas, Scott Boras is posturing, right? Like, he's not going to sign until June when draft pick compensation is gone. And he's done this in the past with a guy like Steven Drew's not Mike Moustakas. He's looking for like a 5-for-75 type of deal. So I understand what Boras is trying to do, trying to ramp up his client and get him signed. But what if he doesn't sign until June? Like, what do we do?
I mean, look, you're hoping he's taking a lot of batting practice and keeping himself in shape, which I'm assuming he would. I mean, if I'm the Yankees, just pony up a 1-year deal. Make this guy, you know, make him make it safe face, sign it. You won't be on the hook for it next year. I don't know. I think he just fits there. And look, even St. Louis has to think about something like that as well. If I'm St. Louis, I look to wrap him up long term. They signed Paul DeJong for, you know, what was, you know, not a bad contract. Even if he fails, it's not going to kill them. They've done that in the past with players. So they got him for a team-friendly contract. We, like Dr. A talking, we just mentioned the last segment about Matt Carpenter.
Sure.
So, I mean, it makes a lot of sense to me. Moustakas going there. Hopefully he signs, though.
No, so I get that, but if he doesn't sign, like, I understand that's a good landing spot. I'm not disagreeing with any of it. But if he doesn't sign, like... What do? Jessica Live, you're going to be in Vegas in 2 weeks. What are you going to do about Mike Moustakas?
Well, I mean, I'm not really not going to be drafting him. It's going to be tough. If he hasn't signed, I'll be in Vegas 2 weeks from today. And if he hasn't signed, I mean, where can I take him? I can't take him only as like a reserve round, or, you know, really late. At some point, he's going to be on a team. I understand that. But, you know, I know the reality of who is a baseball player right now and who is not.
Sure.
And you know, it's unfortunate in that aspect. But now, say Moustakas signs with the Yankees, and if you are drafting him now, you know, he's going to shoot up two or three rounds. He's definitely going to take a nice bounce.
I agree. I agree with that. I would just have 1 minute here before the top of the hour. And I wanted to get your opinions here on my man Travis Shaw, who was so good last year and hit a home run the other day in spring training. I like Travis Shaw a lot. Would you rather have Travis Shaw or Rafael Devers?
I think I'd go Devers. Okay. I think Devers is going to give you the batting average. I know the defense is something to worry about with Devers.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to do that. But the thing with Shaw is I'm worried about that average. I loved him last year where I got him. I didn't really care about the average.
Okay, fair enough.
Paid for him this year.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Corey Parson and Jake Seeley, the four of us all together again. And stick around. More of FST on FNTSY when we come back.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
What is up? Hour number two, FST. Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Wall Street, of course, still here with me. And now, we welcome in the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
Yo, what's good with you, and Mr. Sussman?
How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Present.
Good. You know, tardy, really.
Huh?
Tardy.
But yeah, present. But present. Yeah.
It's tardy, but present.
What if somebody didn't know that and he just blurted that out just now?
You weren't here for
what
last
if,
hour.
What if I was doing?
You are the host of the show.
What if I was in the middle of contract negotiations right now?
You might have been.
And you blurted this out that I was tardy.
For the record, I saw a text message that you sent a text message to your boss saying he knows I'm not here.
I'm just saying. Oh my goodness. We got a lot going on today.
Do we?
Yeah, Matt,
your mic's not even on.
Oh, there you go. Yes, thank you.
Could have asked you that.
Yeah, exactly. What's going on with you? We got a lot going on today. We got all that stuff that took place in the NFL yesterday.
What? The end of the Seahawks.
The end of the Seahawks.
Teddy Bridgewater,
the end
jet.
Of the Seahawks.
Teddy Bridgewater, possibly a Jet.
I waited for you for the end of the Seahawks. I don't want to miss that.
Somebody, can we have Scott connect? Because I would love to hear what Scott has to say about the end of the Legion of Boom, the end of the Seahawks defense. If I'm Jerry Jones, I go get Earl Thomas. Okay. And I'm willing to part ways with my first round draft pick
in order to do it. All right, maybe we can get Scott on the line. As we wait for that, let's talk to the only kid, Jake Seeley. What's up, Jakey? Jake?
Oh, Jake's here.
What's up? I'm here on time, Corey.
Wow. Once again, if I was in contract negotiations, the all-in kid threw me under the bus.
By the way, you could actually listen to the Roto Experts podcast and The Man with Scott, and I talked about the Seahawks, if you like.
Oh, okay. That is true. That is right. That happened this morning. That's correct.
That's right. The Roto Experts podcast, which takes place early in the morning every single day, so as soon as you're going to work, you can load that up.
Pop it in. They do a great job.
Of course. They do. Scott and Jake.
Yep. They do a terrific job.
Jake and Scott.
I can't. What are you looking at?
I was looking at the TV over there. I was trying to see who that dude was on TV.
It's just a Levitard show.
Oh, that's Dan Levitard.
He's been here for like 2 minutes. See, let him be distracted.
It's like he doesn't care about his own TV show.
I do. I'm doing. I do care about this show a lot. It's my pride and joy. Yep.
It says with a straight face too.
It is.
Wow. Hey, Greg, you want to know a disappointing tweet that just came across?
Uh-oh. Sure.
Longest current team streaks without scoring 30-plus points. The top five teams, Packers 11, Colts 13, Broncos 14, Giants 33,
wow.
Browns 43.
Yikes. And offense used to be the strength of that team.
And correct. Yet they're going back in with Eli.
Yeah. Oh, getting Odell Beckham back, obviously a big part of that. A running game is sorely needed in New York. It's been a while.
So I think the goal is Saquon Barkley.
You might have to move up.
Yeah.
Great. Down.
Well, they're going to be signing the Panthers offensive.
Yeah, Andrew Norwell will definitely.
Norwell.
Andrew Norwell will definitely be a
Giant. Sense, yeah.
I think the Giants need to trade down. They gave away their fourth and sixth round pick yesterday for Alec Ogletree. I think they have to trade down.
Stupid.
Okay.
Yeah, Jake, you're very anti this dude for some reason.
Like, because he sucks.
Okay, that was aggressive. he was.
It could have been how they played him.
Let's talk about that when we come back. Jake's a little aggressive about this.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about that when we come back. It's FST on FNTSY.
Skick's sneakers are taking over tailgates and alumni homes across America. Skick's canvas high top, low top, slip-on, and kids tennis style sneakers designed in officially licensed college colors and logos is a must-have for every college fan's wardrobe. Fun, fashionable, and comfortable, whether you're at the big game or watching the game at home, Skick's helps fans perform better. Go to Skick's.com and use promo code FNTSY for 15% off your pair now. That's Skick's.com. Skick's sneakers, the soul of a true fan.
Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller fields, new entry contests only. Fantasy Factor always has fun contests going on, and right now, free entry into their March Madness bracket and a Sweet 16 bracket. Fantasy Factor is running a $100,000 home run derby this year. Simply sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. All right, Jake, before we get to break, you were telling us how bad Alec Ogletree is.
Yeah. He's god-awful terrible. That's just really all there is to it.
All right.
Do you want more?
So, listen, I think you're overrating how terrible he is. I saw you tweet out two missed
tackles.
It is possible. You tweeted out two plays where he looked terrible on. I get it. You can find that for anybody in the NFL.
Not like that.
He missed two tackles. It sucks. All right.
No. He didn't miss a tackle. He pulled up and jogged to the freaking sideline. That's not a missed tackle. He didn't even attempt a tackle. That's a missed tackle. He didn't attempt one. Pro Football Focus, and I know this isn't the godsend, and I know the ratings can be overrated. I talk about it all the time. For the fact that you just look at the rookie ratings from last year, there were some questionable ones, even after watching what happened on the field, of people that were ahead of other people. But he was 830 out of 856 qualified linebackers. So, let's be real. Even if they were off a little bit, he still can't be any better than middle of the pack at best. He's a converted safety, if you want to even call him that when you look at college. He has tons of speed. He flies around the field, but he sucks at playing football. There's just no other way to put it. He can't cover, and he doesn't even attempt tackles. And that's what I'm saying, Greg. I know those are the two things that Kyan Fahey tweeted out, and those are the ones that I retweeted, but that was the point. It wasn't a missed tackle. It wasn't like he tried to square somebody up and got bowled over. He tried to square somebody up and arm tackle. He just ran straight past Chris Thompson. Jogged right past Chris Thompson as he got to the point of what would have been contact.
So safe to say Jake will not be getting an Ogletree jersey.
No, probably not. So what Jake pointed out was right. But to be fair, just 2 years ago, dude was an all-pro. Like, actually an all-pro
And that
player.
Was a terrible decision, though. He got all-pro because of the tackles.
Sure.
He got all pro because he was like second or third in the MC in tackles. But if you watch his gameplay, well, we know that tackling means, like, if you're okay, I had 140 tackles. That doesn't really mean anything. It's kind of an empty stat in football unless you really look at the play. I would love to be wrong about this, Greg. Trust me. You know this. We've watched this team for years. They've ignored the linebacker position. However, when you're talking about Keenan Robinson, when you're talking about Devon Kennard, who can't stay on the field, unfortunately, you can go down the list. It's just the fact that they've had Jonathan Casillas, that the players that they've had are better than him, and they gave up a fourth rounder. And it's not even the fourth rounder. It's like, okay, you might find an Ogletree in the fourth round anyway, so you're going to have somebody who's a deficient player in one area, maybe strong in another. He moves all over the field, but he can't cover and he can't tackle. The side of it is the fact that they're not even getting salary relief from this. They're getting $22 million over the next 4 years. They're up against the salary cap as it is, so they have to be win now, which I don't mind trying to get right back into the playoffs. But there's so many ways that this trade doesn't make sense, and the players looked awful so far. Maybe a change of scenery will change this. I don't know. But at the same time, I mean, there's other ones that I didn't even tweet out where he can't even get off blocks. I mean, we're not talking about offensive linemen getting downfield either. We're talking about can't get off blocks from tight ends. And it's just, what do you bring? If you can't get off blocks, you can't tackle and you can't cover. What do you bring in? It's just a fast guy who can run around on the field.
So he's no Bobby Wagner. We get that. But can he be schemed? Can the Giants defensively scheme him where he can be successful?
And I think that's,
I don't say how.
I think that's the plan. I think that James Betcher, defensive coordinator, of course, in Arizona, has seen a lot of Alec Ogletree through his time with Arizona. I think he wants somebody that's a blitzer. I think that's what Alec Ogletree is. I think, and you're going to hate that I'm going to say this because you don't pay for this and you don't want to pay all that money. You don't want to pay all those draft picks for it. I get it. But leadership. The Giants have no leadership. You say what you want about Casillas, you say what you want about Kennard, there's zero leadership there. And Alec Ogletree, you know, when Todd Gurley's tweeting about how upset he is, they like, what the F? You know, that's good. Listen, you don't want to pay a fourth and a sixth rounder for that. I get it. You don't want to take on all that salary. I get it. But maybe there's more there than just a player. I think he's still young. I think he can still improve. I loved the move at first. Then I kind of came around after reading about Pro Football Focus, seeing your tweets as well, Jake. I've come around. I get it. I know why you're annoyed. I'm annoyed with the fourth rounder. You know, I like having the second pick on day three. I think it's a valuable piece. I think when everything resets, you can trade that pick away. And it makes me think more and more that they're not taking a quarterback with the second overall pick.
I think Garofalo tweeted that out.
It was one
of the reporters from up in that area that covered the team, and it was saying that this is not. Even before this was moved, that it's just more and more and more like it's almost set in stone now at this point that they're not going with quarterback. I will say one thing, though, on the positive side. I don't know that it's their pick. I think it might be the compensatory pick.
Oh, you're right. It is. It is. You're absolutely right. So that actually makes me feel a lot better. I read that this morning. I forgot. But they gave up a seventh for Ross Cocker last year. He gave up a sixth and a fourth.
But they got that seventh back for the
for next year in 2019. So the Giants have the first three picks.
They should bring Cockrell back.
I think they will. So they have their first three picks, and then they have the fourth, and they have a fifth, and that's it. Those are their five picks. So I agree. I think they want Saquon Barkley at two. If he's not there, I think they have very well could trade down, Corey.
Yeah, that's probably be the move, and it'd probably be the best thing. If you can't go ahead and get Barkley, go ahead and trade down and try to get as much picks as you can. And then we can stop spending so much time on a 3-13 team.
Yeah. Here's
funny enough, here, Ralph Vacchiano right now just tweeted about it. The Giants had $24 million in cap space. That's before the changes in potentially Brandon Marshall, Dominic Rogers, Cromartie, which sounds like they're not going to do at this point. But this is before the trade, which is going to cost them $4.75 million, assuming they do a restructure to the contract. Now they're at $19 million against the cap.
All right, let's talk about not a 3-13 team, but a team that didn't make the playoffs. I want to talk about the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes, they didn't make the playoffs.
They did not make the playoffs, just like the Dallas Cowboys didn't make the playoffs.
That's fine.
Well.
The Dallas Cowboys lost their best player for six weeks.
And Jerry got fined $2 million for that.
And Jerry got,
What happened the previous 21 years?
Don't worry about it. When you are the dominant franchise in all of professional sports, it happens.
do we think that Pete Carroll has like a countdown clock in his
home? He does.
Yes.
Pete Carroll is counting
it
down.
It doesn't surprise me if ESPN comes out today and announces that Pete Carroll is the color commentator on Monday Night Football. That would not surprise me in the least.
And he's not that young. He's like 68, right?
Yeah, I think he might
be 70.
I believe, other than Belichick, he's the oldest coach in the NFL.
He is the oldest coach in the NFL.
He does look younger than Scott, almost.
He'll be 67 in September.
Okay.
I love you, King.
Shout out to the King. All right, listen, they're blowing this thing up. Obviously, you see that. Kind of knew it was coming. The Legion of Boom is the first to go. Then the piece of trading Michael Bennett. I did not see that one coming. They say Earl Thomas is on the block, too. Like I said, if I'm the Cowboys, I trade that first pick of the draft to go get Earl Thomas. Now, with that being said, we look at this team and what they have. This right here, this team is once again set up to run through Russell Wilson.
Sure.
Russell Wilson is going to be a dominant fantasy quarterback yet again because he's the whole show. He's running, he's passing, he is the whole show. They're not going to be able to compete without him. I think you could see a situation where a guy like a DeMarco Murray could end up in Seattle to help, but if not, if they can't get a veteran back to put in there, this is all Russell Wilson again, yep. And he'll finish as a top three fantasy quarterback.
I do like that.
Yeah, that's just what they need. Another injured running back.
I mean,
you got to go to the cheap, too, though.
Yeah.
No, you don't. You finally addressed the position.
Stop doing
what the Giants are doing with the linebacker. Stop doing what all these teams get. Stop. Go get yourself a real running back. Stop with this nonsense.
I agree with you on that. I can see that point. I think they go secondary at the back end of the first round if they keep their draft
pick. I just think as long as Pete Carroll's there, they're not blowing it up right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe if he leaves next year, they're just out from scratch.
Well, you can't with Russell Wilson either. I mean, you still have Russell Wilson and Doug Baldwin, and still there's plenty of talent on this team that you can't just blow it all up. I think that you're looking for what the Cowboys just did. You're looking for what the Giants are trying to do this year. You're trying to make the quick turnaround. You're trying to say, all right, look, 2018 might be another non-playoff year, but this is where we get things back on track. If we can get back in 2018, great. If not, we're looking to 2019 to get things turned around quickly.
They like Darwin James. He had a good combine. He may not be there when they pick because of the strength of his combine. But yeah, obviously they're going to need they need to get the secondary back together. Then they got new coaches in out there this year too, so it's going to be interesting to see how it plays
out. You guys know this. Scott and I, when we were talking about the Seahawks, he brought it up, and I completely agree with him. Look at the Ravens. You know, the Ravens missed the playoffs a year here, sometimes 2 years, but they're always quickly back into it. Granted, Joe Flacco is part of the reason that they can't get to the Super Bowl again because he's tying up so much of their money, and he's beyond a subpar quarterback. But that being said, this is an organization with Ozzie Newsome that's always been there. They've been able to find ways to turn the, you know, what are our issues? Let's fix them. It doesn't always have to be 1 year, but yeah, you would say out of 5 years, three of those five seasons, probably four of those five seasons, they're in the playoffs.
They're in the mix.
I will agree about the Ravens. They have capitalized on the mediocrity that the NFL allows.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. Speaking of the Ravens, one of my sources in Baltimore, the Ravens are interested in A.J. McCarron.
Really?
Yes.
Why did A.J. McCarron go there?
Division bidding war.
He's not going to go there unless he's a starter, I think.
Joe Flacco's going to be in the position battle this year.
We'll find out. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, let's get into some baseball here. Corey's back, so we got to talk baseball.
Of course.
Yeah, you know that. And we'll do it.
Okay. And I had something, but I'll wait till 11 o'clock.
All right, we'll do it a little bit. Stick around. More FST on FNTSY. We're after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Every year, there are thousands of players just like you. They go to RotoExperts.com to help us make their season a winning season. Talk strategy in our premium Roto Experts Slack channel and get the one-on-one feeling with award-winning experts who have to respond within 24 hours.
You better stop selling that.
Dominate your draft with the most accurate fantasy baseball rankings led by the all-in kit, Jake Seeley, Scott the King Angle. You get a draft package, cheat sheet generator, and player projections, and much, much more. That's not all. We're giving you 20% off dailyroto.com and their DFS products powered by Millionaire Maker winner, Dink. Drew Dinkmeyer.
Yeah.
Go to rotoexperts.com/MLB18 today and save 10% off with the promo code
FNTSY.
FNTSY. That's rotoexperts.com/MLB18.
I think they should have like an even VIP package where like Jake has to respond in like 24 minutes.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea.
That's awesome. Within 24 minutes.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody on the show should go kick rocks.
I wish I had a rock in here that I could just kick right now.
You might hit that window, then your ass would be out of here.
Whatever. Okay, Jason Kipnis just continues to roll right along in spring training. Jakey, is Jason Kipnis somebody that we can get back on board on?
I'd say to a certain degree. I have him right there with Moncada and Chris Taylor. I'm looking at it right now, and I think that it's a reasonable expectation for him. Look, the average isn't going to ever get to a high-end level like 290 or anything like that, but I think that when I have him at 76, 18, and 68, chipping in 11 steals, I think that's very reasonable. I mean, he actually has the upside more than that. He has the higher ceiling. I don't think he's ever going to get back to that, though, because that was kind of his peak.
Yeah.
But if you look at what happened last year and what he's doing so far, I think he's reasonable bounce back. That puts him around 15 for second baseman. The problem is I have a feeling that people who overreact to spring training, as people do every single year, are going to push him back up into the conversation with, like, oh, look right now. I still take Albies. I'll take Ian Happ. If, you know, I have him at second base. You can play him at outfield, obviously. I take both of them. I would still take Kinsler, given their like the similar player age-wise and all that type of stuff. But he's in that conversation. But my problem, like I said, is if you start pushing Kipnis up to the top 10 second baseman again, now you're losing all the return value that you potentially get.
Yeah, I move him up to by like where Ian Kinsler is. I mean, I got Kinsler everywhere. The thing is, he has to be healthy, and that's been his problem. Injuries. He plays the game hard. He's that kind of. You see the commercial on MLB Network. Mm-hmm. He's like Pigpen or something. There's like dirt all over him. I would, you know, where he the last week in the 12-team NFBC format, the online championship, his the 24th second baseman or second base eligible player off the board with an ADP of 228. That's going to be changing in the next week.
Yeah, I would think so too.
I'd rather him than Paul DeJong.
You'd rather him than Paul DeJong, Jake?
Not in that format. No, you're talking about Matt because there's no pickups or trades.
This is 12-team online championship where you can. It's only 30 rounds, so you are fabbing players and stuff like that. That's why I went with the 12-team opposed to the draft and hold.
I can tell you right now what I have their values at. I think I'd lead DeJong at this point. Yeah, I mean the dollar price alone, I got DeJong higher. It's just I would rather roll with the person on the up than the person at the end of this career.
I just think that Kipnis, while he's out there, he's not going to steal the amount of bases he used to steal. He'll steal some. I still like the Cleveland team. You know,
if you need steals, absolutely. If you need steals, absolutely. But I see definitely more. But I see mid-20 power for DeJong, while Kipnis is going to struggle to get to 20.
Okay. Hey, fair. Oh, there you go. Jason Kipnis, Corey.
Huh?
Jason Kipnis.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't even know who that is.
No, he's second baseman for the Cleveland Indians.
Maybe. Maybe not.
I like how you looked around just to make sure.
We do a Cleveland Indians rotation nation next hour, so that'll be fun. They got a good one. They got this kid named Corey Kluber. Beast. Yep, sir. Let's do it. What we got next? Jason Kipnis is my second, is my eighth ranked second baseman. Yep.
Lewis Brinson had his first home run of the year a couple of days ago.
This is interesting right here. Yeah.
But, this is what you're interested in.
Well, because Lewis Brinson is going to get a chance to play every day. He's the top prospect.
I was talking about the Marlins yesterday in the control room with the guys, and
I'm glad I wasn't there.
You were not.
I would have changed the subject.
You missed picture day because you weren't there.
No, well, they told me I didn't dress up today either. I forgot. Yeah, this is my style. They just take a picture of me like this. I got a picture. I use choir photos.
It's a headshot, Corey. It's not a style picture.
Okay,
dude. Corey, I did love that combine picture of you where you were all dressed up on the combine show.
Yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't get you sitting in that little chair.
Anyway. Lewis Brinson, so Miami in general, like, if you have him toward the top of the lineup and not this Derek Dietrich stuff, you have Starling Castro locked in as your third hitter, Justin Bour at cleanup, like, there's some value here, I think. Where would you take Lewis Brinson, Jake? And follow-up to that is about Starling Castro.
I don't actually have him that high. I'm just outside the top 200. Mm. And it's just because, look, the fact is, if you look at Lewis Brinson, what is he? A 15-15 guy. Yeah, so what? He's Dustin Pedroia. What'd he do? That's the problem. He doesn't bring a great average. He doesn't bring terrific home runs. 15 home runs, as we continually talk about this entire spring training and preseason, is the fact that 15 home runs means nothing anymore. So it's the more value into the 15 steals than it is the 15 home runs. And then in that lineup, I don't care if he's hitting at the top, middle, bottom, wherever it is, you're probably not going to get more than about 120 combined runs in RBI. So he's fine as my fifth outfielder, maybe fourth, depending if you're in a 15-team league and depending on where you went elsewhere in the draft. So fourth, I can see that. But I think he's going to be way overhyped because he is a hyped prospect. But if you look at his track record through the minors, when he's had extended stints through the minors, he's had a strikeout percentage in the mid-20s. And that's not terrible, but it's also not that great. That makes me think he's ever going to hit for more than for 250. Honestly, I'd rather have Starling Castro.
I mean, second base, I think you can get the outfielders there. Look, I'm looking at the last week in the 12 team, as I mentioned before. This is not a draft and hold. This is, you know, redraft format. He's ADP of 300.
Yep.
You could make the case on many of the players. I do like the 15-15 players. I don't want the 15-15 guy that's batting 230, though. But if you can get a 15-15 guy with a decent average, I do think there is value there. If I'm going to take a prospect kind of guy, it's going to be Dustin Fowler.
Okay, you've been talking about Dustin Fowler. Are we sure Dustin Fowler is going to have the job in Oakland, though?
I know
Corey drafted him in his Dallas team.
If it's not opening day, it's soon after. The only person that really is in his way is Boog Powell.
Right.
And Boog. I ain't buying that. This was the centerpiece of that trade. This is the guy they wanted. The only thing was health, and he got cleared for that. He's the leadoff center fielder guy for this team for the future.
Okay.
So where you're drafting him as well, it's not like you're relying on him to make or break your team.
But even still, when a guy like Dustin Fowler, like, he still has to come back from this injury. It was a major injury last year, running into the stands in Yankee Stadium. Angel Stadium. Angel Stadium, yeah.
Stop trying to beat Derek Jeter.
Oh, yeah. That's not nice.
He was like Moonlight Graham.
You know? No, that was a compliment to Derek Jeter. Like, stop trying to do that. I mean, Derek Jeter could have came out with a similar injury. That was very risky.
Yeah, but see, I disagree. If I'm a pro athlete, one of the reasons you got there is you're going to go for it. I know they say people, you know, you got to know the scoreboard or what time of the year it is. But, it's tough. When I played sports, I wasn't looking at the clock and stuff.
I'm not talking about that. And I have no problem going for it, but I also never, never dove headfirst into a stands.
I would do it.
I would do it, too. You're making a play. He's a rookie. He's his first game in the majors. He's making a play.
Yeah, and now what happened? And he gets traded. Just over a year.
Well, now he's going to trade it. He might be in a better spot. Less than a year, to be fair.
No, by the time he gets back on the field and actually plays in the majors.
We'll find out. Maybe he'll be ready. Who knows?
I'll give you a guy to draft over Lewis Brinson. Yeah. So it's only like a 20-point ADP spot. He's higher. Right. But, I mean, Shin-Chu. I mean, you're 100% right. But as long as he's healthy, he's going to play. And
he was last year. People don't realize he played the entire season.
Oh
no, I get it, and you're not wrong for making that. I don't want to take him either, but
I'm happily taking him as my fourth outfielder.
That you have.
Come on, Jake.
You can't put him.
I mean, come on. Don't want to. He was 20-10 last year in 150 games. He produced in every single category. Matt's 100% right.
I'm not doing this. I'm not doing the Shinsu
Chu. But I hear what you're saying, but you know you have to. Take that bias out.
Yeah.
Well, with Shin-Soo Choo, if you guys both like Shin-Soo Choo, are you guys a little bit colder on a guy like Willie Calhoun then?
No.
No, because Willie Calhoun should play too.
Okay.
I don't see how, you know. Choo, like I said, maybe he gets traded too. You don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of outfielders, another outfielder that I feel like is kind of overlooked a little bit here this spring has been Mitch Haniger. Now, Mitch Haniger was off to a really hot start last April. He was a big deal.
Thanks, Corey. That's great insight.
Mitch Blood Green got his face knocked off in Dapper Dance by Mike Tyson.
Mitch Haniger went off to a really, really hot
different Mitch
April last year. Gets hurt, comes back, and struggle. Mitch Haniger's a name nobody's talking about this spring. Should we be talking about Mitch Haniger?
I have him on multiple teams.
I've been talking about him all spring.
I hope he's good.
You haven't mentioned him to me. I talk to you every day.
How many times have we been on a show before this week?
He just hasn't been able to stay healthy. You know, you got to get more than 200 at bats in a season. And like you said, when he played last year, he played very well. The other outfielder they had was Ben Gamel, who is suffering from an injury, and that's why Ichiro was signed. I don't know if I really got that. I think they should have. I would rather see him take a shot on like Carlos Gonzalez.
Sure, I agree.
For like a 1-year deal. But yeah, no, Haniger's a guy I like. I like the skill set he brings. And I'm, you're not paying a lot for him neither. And I'm hoping that he can stay healthy.
Greg.
Yes, Jake.
Hashtag, check the link.
My
two favorite values I have on so many of my teams, 32 and 33, Mancini and Haniger in the outfield.
Interesting. I got to look more into Mitch Haniger because I like him too. All right. He's fucking cool. FST. FNTSY.
The sharpest fantasy sports minds are now available 24/7 straight from your mobile device. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app and listen live or on demand to the finest tips, strategies, and advice from your favorite fantasy personalities. It's free and available for both iOS and Android devices. Your life isn't slowing down, so why should your fantasy sports? Head to fntsy.com/radio and download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app today.
If you love drafting your fantasy team, imagine drafting a real professional team. The Fan Controlled Football League is bringing fantasy sports and Madden franchise mode to a real football field. Fans will scout players, draft rosters, hire coaches, call plays, and more. The FCFL will feature 8 professional teams playing 7-on-7 fast-paced indoor football in a high-tech production studio built for a digital audience. This is the next generation of fantasy football where fans get rewarded for dominating through the league's proprietary fan token. To learn more about Fan Token and the FCFL, visit FCFL.io. All right, Jake, you caught me. I didn't check the link. Why do you like Mitch Haniger so much?
Because the talent's still there. It's always been there. And the fact is, like you said, everybody was high on him, excited for last year, and it wasn't even just the spring training, although that made people find out about him. That's the fact that he's true talent, and he just got hurt, had some unfortunate luck. You saw it come back for a little spell there. You saw him slump a little bit, too. He's come back from an injury. Fact is, like I said, I have him at 33 right behind Mancini, and the numbers compared to Mancini, very close. More runs, less runs for Mancini, about the same amount of home runs, about the same amount of RBIs, a few more stolen bases, a slightly lower average. Both these guys, I think more people need to be on. Like I said, I've been getting most of them, or them in most of my drafts, because they're very similar players, and they're terrific values. They're top 35 outfielders that more people should be paying attention to.
So what do you think about David Dahl? If you're a Haniger guy, I think they...
Not on him at all. David Dahl, I don't even know, has a starting job for this upcoming season to start the year, because he's been outplayed so far, and everything you're reading from the Rockies is that he doesn't have a spot. There's nowhere to put him.
I don't know. I think he's the guy that's going to...
I ain't even in on him.
Yeah, I definitely like him. He was just a year removed. He's coming off that
injury-filled
season, which was unfortunate.
But that's the problem, is he hasn't done anything since the injury.
I mean, look, it's spring training. Just started swinging a bat. He's one of the future pieces for this team, I believe. I mean, the way they used Ian Desmond, I found a bit interesting.
Sure.
This spring training. And I wasn't on Desmond last year. I mean, Dahl last year. Only time I got him was after that injury where he was only supposed to be out for a little while. And that was like in the 12th round. I was a Benintendi guy last year. Mm-hmm. But I'm in on Dahl. Look,
here's the problem. He still has options, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because they can send him down.
But who's really in his play? Look, Gerardo Parra is a nice player. He is also coming off this hamate.
There you go.
And Tapia has been hitting, though.
Tapia, look, he's a better player than Tapia. He has more.
No, I'm not disagreeing with the fact that his ceiling is better than both Parra and Tapia. But the problem is he's not playing well so far, and Tapia is, and Parra has been shown since if he's healthy that he can play. That's my only problem is that I don't disagree talent wise with you, Matt. That's not what I'm disagreeing with at all. Is the problem is the fact that everything you read from the Roxies is he has an option and he has time to be sent down and to, you know what, continue to work to come back from this injury. So maybe he's back by June, but that's the problem. Is if he's back, even if he's back by May, the problem is he doesn't have a starting job as of today. He hasn't shown anything, and there's now only two and a half weeks left for him to change their minds. I think that he's going to start the year in AAA, unfortunately.
Well, that's a point, but I think he gets the spot over Tapia. I would like to see. I mean, I think the Rockies make a mistake there.
We talked to Garrett Richards earlier on in the show, and one guy that I compared him to, Jake, was Charlie Morton in their draft ADP. Which one do you like more, Garrett Richards or Charlie Morton?
I actually have them very close.
Yeah.
If you told me if both of them are going to pitch 180 innings, Garrett Richards. The thing is, Garrett Richards is top 20 talent. As Garrett Richards cannot stay healthy. Just can't. So that's the issue here is the fact that Charlie Morton, I actually have two spots in front of him. They're back to back, but I have Charlie Morton for more innings. Jarrett Richards going to have the better numbers on the inning per basis. So it really comes down to if you could tell me he's going to get 180 innings, I'll take Garrett Richards every single time. I actually like his value that you have to pay right now because people seem to have forgotten how good Garrett Richards can be. But that being said, I mean, this guy is never going to make it 30 starts, unfortunately.
I mean, I think I have Richards for like in the low 140s, and I think I have Charlie Morton at like a 135 or something.
So very close as well.
So yeah, and like I said, I'm going to go Richards every time over him.
Just the ups.
And Morton, as he, like I said, the playoffs were fantastic. But look at last season. And like I said, I owned him multiple spots. You didn't want him pitching more than five. Even if he went into the sixth inning, you knew it was going to end bad in the sixth inning.
Let me ask this, though, guys. With the Angels having a six-man rotation, that one could help Garrett Richards theoretically stay healthy. Number two, aren't there going to be weeks Garrett Richards doesn't even start?
I don't know if there's going to be weeks he doesn't start. Here's the thing with the six-man rotation. I don't see how this is going to work out long term. At some point, I think it goes back to a five. You're starting off with a six-man. It sounds good. And who's the sixth guy? Jesse Chavez right now or something like that?
J.C. Ramirez?
No, J.C. Ramirez, thank you.
Same thing as Jesse Chavez.
Pretty much the same thing. But,
no, so, that's the thing. Go ahead, Matt.
I think in theory, I get it, but can it work long term? I don't think so.
I'm with him. I don't think it stays. I think this is just maybe to limit Otani's starts early in the season, or maybe it's just the early season just to keep things in check. But either by performance or somebody getting hurt or just the fact is there's a reason that the six-man rotation is not a commonality. This reason five-man rotation is what it is. It's the perfect, basically middle ground of rest and getting back on the field and keeping your momentum going. Every time the six-man rotation has been attempted in the past, it usually affects half the rotation. And you see, sometimes pitchers can get through it and just continue to be themselves, but there are guys that are affected by it all the time. The Yankees, wasn't it Tanaka, I think it was, who was just terrible on 6 days compared to five?
Yes.
So I don't see this being a long-term thing. I'm with Matt. I don't as either. I think the biggest thing here is that Otani still gets 160 innings, but they are able to parse it out over the season by starting this way. I think whether it's Ramirez or Skaggs or Blark, who's it? Parker Bridwell. Somebody's going to get bumped from this rotation.
Sure.
Yeah, but the one thing I think this season, I don't think it's been talked about really enough. I think with the schedule now, isn't there like more off days in this 2018 season? So I think teams are going to be able to either spread out or reset rotation.
Manipulate the rotation
more often than not.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're going to reset the Angels rotation to that point, to your question, Greg,
yes.
They're not going to skip Richards unless it's an injury concern situation. They're going to roll out their top three as much as possible.
Let me ask about another popular player in the AL West from just last year, and that's Sean Manaea. Now, Manaea last year, 12-10 with a 4.37 ERA. XFIP and FIP are actually kind of in line with that 4.37 ERA. Are you somebody that's in on him, Jake?
I as my first man, second man on my bench, then sure. I don't want him in near my starting rotation. I think he's still more of a matchup play. Well, we did the rotation nation. We did the A's last week or earlier this week. Mm-hmm. So at some point, he'd be the only one that I really wanted the A's rotation. I'm still not that excited about it because I don't even have him for a sub-4 ERA. Okay. I don't think anybody in this rotation has a sub-4 ERA or a whip under 1.3. And if that's the case and you're not bringing elite level strikeouts, he does have the best ceiling to potentially break through those numbers if he could ever put it all together, but he hasn't shown signs of it yet.
Yeah, I was a lot more bullish on him last year. But if we want to take that narrative about the ADD or whatever the medicine that he was
sure
on,
yeah.
So that's something I have to give him at least an opportunity with. And like Jake, I'm with Jake where I want to have him more as a bench or, you know, that sixth starter kind of guy. I mean, the guy that I'm really excited out in Oakland is AJ Puck. I want to see him come up. I think he comes up by June.
Yep.
And see what he can do. And
I just took him in the 34th round last night, Matt.
Well, there you go. See, that's perfect. He's a guy.
And I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Corey, we were talking a lot about Yankees outfielders, of course, in the past, right? Like your Giancarlo Stanton, your Aaron Judges. But what do you think was up with Aaron Hicks? Is Aaron Hicks a fantasy player?
No, he would have. I don't think so. He would have to have this unforeseen, this breakout that nobody sees coming this year. You know what I'm saying? Does he have a spot in the lineup?
Yeah, I think he's going to start center field every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
well, that's worth it then.
And he's got biceps bulging out of his uniform now.
He's like Ed Hockley uniform.
I mean, he makes Ed Hockley look like me.
I do like Hicks, but I also kind of worry. If he gets off to a slow start, Jacoby Ellsbury's still around here.
And I also, we talked about coaching changes, right? Like, Aaron Hicks, yes, a Brian Cashman guy, but also a Joe Girardi guy, right? If he gets off to a slow start, Ellsbury comes in, plays a few good days, goodbye Aaron Hicks.
Yeah, look, he was a darling last year. I mean, I know he finished the season maybe like in the 260 batting average.
Yes.
He was hitting like well over 300 for most
of the year,
and stuff. But, you know, I like him, but I can see where he has the opportunity now. He's got to continue this momentum.
Let me give you another.
Daily leagues.
Only leagues, Jake?
No, daily. The problem, the point is, I actually want Hicks. I think that he will have a starting job for most of the season, but he could have a he could be a 4 day a week guy because of Ellsbury, because of the Mitch. Heck, I mean, there might be days where they sit Gardner and Hicks, and you know, they just there's so many interchangeable pieces right now after they bring in Stanton that the guaranteed playing time is my only concern with him, and because if he does slump to that point, but I think he'll be fine. I don't expect him to slump too much. I actually think he's going to have a good season. But that being said, they do have too many options. My biggest problem with the outfield is Aaron Judge. Already said he's not doing the home run derby.
Yeah, George, you know, on Ryan Rucco and CC Sabathia's podcast said he's not doing the home run derby.
CC Sabathia?
Yeah, he has a podcast with Ryan Rucco, yes.
Okay.
They said that he will not do the home run derby again. He thought that attributed to his shoulder injury.
I love when my players don't do the home run derby.
I know you do.
Nothing good comes out of it.
I do want to ask, Jay, we talked about Sean Manea a moment ago. Going one spot away from him in the NFBC ADP is Julio Tehran, a longtime ace, of course, for the Braves, just still 27 years old. Mm-hmm. Can he improve and be someone for fantasy purposes?
Nope. I've never been a Tehran fan. And the 1 year where he was great, you know, everybody came after me, but this 1 year, Tehran is what he is. Poor whip, poor ERA, some strikeouts. He's not that good.
I would like to run better if he wasn't in hey. That park killed him. Hey. That park was a house of horrors.
Yeah, it absolutely was. He just could not be successful at home in Atlanta. All right, we'll take a break, come back, 5 more minutes to go, and then we'll get to the FSTOT. Stick around. More of Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
I'm not going to run that parade. I'm not Mr. Blake Snell. I never will be.
But
where are you in Blake Snell?
I'm interested in him as well. I don't have a lot of shares. I got on maybe a little later, but for where he's going, he's priced to be profitable. And he should get the innings. You know, the pitchers in Tampa Bay are dropping like flies.
Yeah, they really are.
You know, they're talking about going with a four-man rotation.
Four-man rotation on the fifth day when they need it, just going bullpen only.
The one thing that does cap him is probably not going to win a lot of games.
Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, only on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Little college basketball news before we wrap up. Conference tournaments are going on, Corey.
Yep.
UNC defeated Syracuse last night.
They certainly did.
It was very easy.
Yes, it certainly did. They covered.
They did, sure. Pac-12 games went to overtime last night, which was fun.
Which one?
Was it Oregon last night, I believe?
Okay, I didn't get to
say. It was late.
They just making fun of your voice.
I do it at times, too. I think it's funny when you... I do it, too. Your voice all of a sudden gets really high-pitched.
Okay. All righty.
Yeah.
Oregon...
Conference USA. ODU starts today.
There you go. Let's go ODU. What are they ranked in that conference tournament?
Number two, but the only way to get to the tournament, they have to win the Conference USA. Their strength of schedule is abysmal.
That's fine, but they're number two, so they got a legit shot to win the tournament.
They do, but the problem is, I forget who's at the top. Southern? I forget. Whoever's at the top is already beat them this year. The problem is their strength of schedule. I think their biggest win is something like a Cornell-level school. It's sad.
Yeah, so it's okay. It's Middle Tennessee State. They're good, Middle Tennessee State.
There you go, yep.
Yeah, they're a good squad. So that'll be a good game, Old Dominion and Middle Tennessee State, if we get there. So that college basketball news was interesting. Even more interesting to me, Corey, Kevin Stallings, whose Pittsburgh team put up 7 points in the first half, was fired today.
Why did he used to be a good coach? He used to run a good program.
Many years ago.
Yes, it was.
Many years ago at Vanderbilt.
He was canned, and he acting like he shouldn't have been canned.
It was crazy.
They were 0-17 in the ACC.
Correct.
That's disgusting.
Lost 19 consecutive games in the ACC. 0-19. Kevin Stallings, who his buyout is over $9 million.
That's crazy.
With Pittsburgh. And if he gets paid all of that, which I'm not saying he will, they would have paid him over $500,000 per win.
He's got a hell of a deal, but now that team really stunk it up. Pittsburgh was like you said about a decade or so ago. They were very dominant in basketball.
Dixon, when he was coach at Pittsburgh, made 12 out of 14 NCAA tournaments.
Yeah,
12 out of 14.
And Stallings is a stiff. He's a bum. So shout out to the Pitt Panthers. They don't have to worry about him no more.
It's amazing because when Jamie Dixon was there at 12 out of 14 tournaments, they lowered his buyout so he would accept a job at his alma mater of TCU. Went TCU, immediately made the tournament last year, and Kevin Stallings of Pittsburgh can't win an ACC game.
Not one single game in the ACC. Like, you can't even beat Florida State. You know what I'm saying? If Florida State is decent, they'd probably be a tournament team.
Couldn't but even beat, not, like, BC.
Yeah, exactly.
Who couldn't also even be a tournament team.
Yeah, so bad job out of them. So he definitely deserves to no longer have his situation.
Absolutely
the
not.
Fact that you cannot win one game in the conference is horrific.
Over $9 million, Jake, is the buyout.
That's a crazy amount.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
bought out for that much.
Just shows you
with anything.
Yeah, right. Just shows you what kind of coach Damian Dixon is. And at 21-10, this team will make the tournament again this year. 9-9 in the Big 12. TCU will get there. Absolutely crazy, Kevin Stallings. Before we hit OT, I want to remind you that every 3 minutes, an American is diagnosed with blood cancer. Fortunately, only 30% of patients are able to find compatible bone marrow donors within their family. But that's how you can help. Go to dkms.org/fntsy today and sign up online and register as a donor. DKMS will send you a swab kit, which takes legitimately 1 minute to do. You swab each of your cheeks and send it back to them. And that's it. You are done. DKMS will then try and match you up with a person in need of a donation. The process is easy, and best of all, you can help save someone's life. Not metaphorically, quite literally. Check out dkms.org/fntsy to see how you can help. Tomorrow is Friday, so of course, I'll try to get Flory on the line to play his Mike Lyon.
Oh, that guy is slacking. You know what? He thinks he's a model. He acts like he's a model. He come in here like he's some kind of hotshot fantasy model. You feel what I'm saying? He think he's all hot stuff. Man. He don't even do his Mike Florio line anymore.
What made him famous?
Yeah, exactly. He let the damn fish die. Mm-hmm. The whole thing. Mm-hmm. Somebody, he needs to have a performance review.
FSTOT's coming up next.
Says Corey.